Thanks for listening to this sermon from Spring Hill Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Well, good morning and welcome to Spring Hill Baptist Church. We're so glad you decided to join us for worship this morning. It's going to be a little bit different of a worship service this morning. So just to kind of let you know, to fill you in on what's going on. This is, of course, a week before Easter. So next week, we'd love to have you join us for Easter service. We'll still have the two services and we will be having our Sunday school, the second service. So we'd love for you to be a part of it. Also let you know that next week we'll be doing the Lord's Supper. And so you can prepare your hearts for that. But this week, what we're going to do is go through what the church in Acts did in Acts chapter 4. We just talked last week about how they spent time in prayer. And you could really divide up what they did in prayer into these five parts. They had adoration, right? Then they had a biblical exhortation as they went through Psalm chapter 2. And then they had consideration. They are asking the Lord to pay attention. They had their supplication or their request, and then their glorification was their, God, please do a great work for the glory of your name. So what we're going to do in this service today is we're going to pray those five parts. And so the whole service is just going to be broke up into these five parts, as opposed to me just preaching a normal sermon. And I know that's going to sound a little bit intimidating to think each time will be a time of prayer. So we'll have the band lead us through some parts of it. I'll lead us through some parts of it. And there'll be real clear instructions on the screen. So we'll talk about what it means to have a life of adoration. And then we're going to put some ways that you could pray. And so for each screen, there'll be a verse you can read and a couple things you can pray. And we're going to give you a couple minutes to do that. So with each kind of point, you might say, there'll be 3 to 4 minutes that we're going to say, and you take some time and pray about that. Okay? So just to let you know, that's kind of where the service is headed. But before we begin, if I could give you this illustration, we got a call from the school this week for Titus. It was on Friday. They called and they said something's wrong with Titus. He is like shaking. He looks like he's in a lot of pain. And so Don went to the school to see what was going on, went into the nurse's office there. And Titus was just frozen, shaking, and his body was trembling. And so she said, Titus, do you need to go to the bathroom? And so she took him into the bathroom, used the restroom, and then she put him down, and he just, was fine. Nothing was wrong. But when she opened up the door to the hallway, when Titus stepped to the door, he began to shake again. And so what Dawn kind of put together real quickly is that there was something, for some reason, on Friday about the floor that whenever Titus saw it, it filled him with fear. And you think, Titus has been going to that school for 2 years now. In fact, I did the math last night, 180 days that he has gone into that school building, and we don't carry him through the school building, so 180 days that he's walked on that floor. But for some reason on Friday, it was totally different for Titus. Whenever it was time to take a restroom break, when he saw the hallway floor, he was filled with fear. Now, the reason I give that example is that for me, I've been the pastor of this church for 3 years. That means for a little bit over 150 Sundays, I've come into this sanctuary with you to sing to the Lord. But I hope that today it's just a little bit different in our mind. I hope that we'd maybe pause today before we begin this season of prayer to realize who we're talking to. And sometimes it can be so normal to go through normal things, it's hard for us to pause and actually get the magnitude of what we're doing. It says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near and listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they are doing is wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God, because God is in heaven and you are here on earth. So let your words be few. Now, that's not to mean that we shouldn't be praying, but it's to mean that if we're going to have a prayer service today, the way we ought to begin that is by stopping and realizing that we're talking to the Lord. And anyone who ever went into his presence, they trembled in fear. And then God in his grace said, don't fear. Instead, fear not. And then through his grace, he called them close. And so what I thought we'd do this morning before we dive into a season of prayer is that we would just stop for a moment and recognize who it is we're talking to, who it is we're singing to. And it's hard for us to do that because we've all been in this room so many times, many of you much more than I have. Maybe some of you are guests, and so maybe for you this would be the first time, but I hope that for just a moment we could settle our hearts to say, Lord, we want to talk to you. We don't want to just like be mouthing things in our mind and sending positive thoughts, but we're talking to the God who is in heaven. and just to catch the weight of that for a moment, and then we'll begin to sing. Father, I thank you that you are in heaven. You're still on your throne. And of all the things we don't know and of all the things we don't understand, we know this. You're still high and lifted up. And Father, we ask in this service today that you would allow us at least some recognition of speaking to you. Father, for the people that don't know you as their Savior, Father, would you fill their heart with fear that they're talking to you, a holy God. And then, Father, in your grace, would you remind them of the confidence we have in Christ and how he's our only hope to go to you. Father, I pray that today for the lost they'd be saved. And Father, for your church, would you remind us of the confidence we have to speak in the name of Christ, to have an audience with you. Father, would you allow us to be a church that prays? And would you lead us today as we do that? We love you, Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and sing? Church came together there in Acts chapter 4 verse 24. It says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God, saying, Sovereign Lord, that is the God who's in control, you made the heavens and the earth, the seas and everything in them. Their first prayer was a prayer of thanksgiving. Adoration really is just to admit who God is. And so for us, what we want to begin with this morning is just a moment of thanks to the Lord. Before we ask for any request, it'd be wise for us to just stop and admit who God is and to thank Him for who He is and what He's done. Think about this. The longer you walk with Jesus, the more your heart is filled with gratitude, the more thankful you are. Whenever Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, He said, God is looking for worshipers who worship Him in spirit and truth. And that's ultimately what Thanksgiving is just to pour out our thanks to the Lord. I recently read there's a book called God is Inescapable by David Soper, and he said this: one major difference between a prison and a monastery, both are confined by walls, great restrictions, and poor food. The difference between them is griping and gratitude. Imprisoned criminals spend every waking moment griping, while self-imprisoned saints spend every waking moment offering thanks. Now, when a criminal becomes a saint, the prison may become a monastery. But when a saint gives up gratitude, even a monastery would become a prison. And you think how often we've been enslaved and entrapped by griping and complaining. But the early church, when they faced their very first persecution, the first thing they do is begin to offer thanks and gratitude. So the slide that you're going to see here, it's going to be 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 17. We talked about this in the men's prayer breakfast on Tuesday. You can read it, and there's seven different things here to be thankful for. And so you can kind of read these lists and just take a moment to thank the Lord for it. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you chose me before I did anything. Thank you that you've given me your spirit. Thank you that you sanctify me through your word. Thank you for the future glory that I'll have with Christ in heaven. Thank you for the way you encourage me and you give me hope. Thank you for the way that you strengthen me in word and deed. So we're going to take about 2 minutes, and I'd like for you to read that passage and then just begin to spend some time thanking the Lord. Whether or not it be those seven things or just something the Lord lays on your heart, you take this time now to open your heart in adoration to the Lord.
How humbling it is just to hear your voice, Lord. How comforting it is to hear your voice, Lord, to feel you close to us. I pray that you would just daily remind us of who you are, Lord, and what you've done for us. Lord, how gracious you are, above and beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. Thank you for who you are. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Well, you see that after the church had spent a moment in adoration, they went to biblical exhortation. And for us, that is in Psalm chapter 2. So you can turn there in your Bible. And what I'd like to ask you to think about during this time, as you read through Psalms 2, you could read the whole chapter if you'd like. Or at least the first four verses and the last verse. And what you find in the first four verses, they say this: why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord, against his anointed one. Let us break his chains and throw off the fetters. This is speaking to the rebelliousness of people. And what I think we want to do in this moment as we read through the book of Psalms is not to think about how the nations rage in rebellion, but how our own hearts rebel. I heard a black preacher recently say, the problem is not systematic racism. The problem that we face is systematic hypocrisy. That the church has taught systematic hypocrisy, that when we talk about sinners, we're always talking about those sinners instead of talking about us as sinners. You see, what Paul does is he says that he is the chief of sinners. And so it begins with a moment of introspection. So I'll tell you what a mentor of mine taught me out of Ephesians 5. It says, Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for her, making her holy, cleansing her by washing her with water through the word. And he said, you should think about repentance kind of like you would think about taking a shower. That, you know, you would begin by washing your head and then going down over your face. And so for us with repentance to think first, have I had thoughts that were rebellious? Have I been deceived in any way? Is my thinking wrong, Lord? And there's no way to know that I've been deceived unless someone else tells you that you've been deceived. So that's what you're praying in this. Lord, would your spirit search me? Has my mind been deceived in my thinking? Have I had thoughts that aren't pleasing to you? With my eyes, have I looked lustfully? Have I been coveting something or looking lustfully at someone? Of course, we know in Scripture that's clearly sin. Then to think about your ears, what have I allowed to influence me? Have I been rebellious in what I listen to? And then with my speaking, have I been spreading gossip? Have I spoke dishonestly? Is my words, are there words that are coming out of my mouth that are, that are not uplifting to the Lord? Have I been speaking obscenities, for example? And then to kind of work down to say, how about my heart? Has my heart been rebellious? Am I harboring resentment? Do I have anger? Do I have an unforgiving spirit? And so as you read through Psalm 2, before we think about how the nations rage against the Lord, this would be a good time for us as a church to just walk through this confession to say, Lord, would you search my heart? Is there anything offensive? And so the same way that you would shower, that you would clean yourself, to begin with the top to say, have my thoughts, and then have my eyes, have my ears, have my mouth, has my heart been? You spend some time walking through that. And then as you get to that end of time of prayer, I would remind you the way that chapter ends there in Psalms chapter 2, verse 12, kiss the Son. Or your translation might say, pay homage to the Son. And that is just as you end your time of prayer, to just in your heart and in your mind, kneel before Christ and say, I want to repent of those things and I want to have you as the king of every area of my life. You spend some time reading through that Psalms 2 and then praying in prayer and repentance to ask the Lord to search your heart.
Father God, you know my heart. God, you've created every person in this room. Father, you know what we set our minds to, what we set our hands to. Father, you know our hearts. God, we, as James says, God, we don't want to just be hearers of your word, but we want to be doers of your word. Hearers only, we're just deceiving ourselves, Father. God, I pray that in this time, God, as we reflect on the things that we do with our entire bodies, God, would you allow us to give to you things that shouldn't be, trusting that you're a good, gracious God who loves us and desires good things for our lives, Father. Father, would you continue to examine us? Would you allow us to be good thinkers? God, would we finish the thoughts that you put in our heads and not allow Satan and the cares of this world to snatch them away, Father? God, I thank you for time such as this, to be able to pause and to be able to reflect and to have good, lovely thoughts of you and your kingdom. Father, would you bless us in this time? God, would you bless us? It's your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Nick. So So after they spent some that time going through Psalms, their next thing was consideration. And before we go into that, is it hard for you to focus in prayer? I found that it's become increasingly difficult for me to focus in prayer. And what I've realized is it's because my mind is so driven to be entertained that how often do I watch TV while I play on my phone? My mind's not even satisfied with one piece of entertainment now, right? And so as a church, I just recognize that as a pastor, whenever I struggle to focus in prayer, that you may as well. And so this is awkward for us to do, right? To just stop everything, it'd be much more easy for me to try to preach and in some ways to try to entertain, but for us to pause, and really that leads us to the next part, is the consideration, is to say, you know, how often my kids say, Dad, would you just listen for a second? Can you stop everything else? And that's ultimately what the church does here in Acts chapter 4. This is what Titus does to me sometimes. If you've got little kids, they all go through that age where they'll grab your face and try to turn your face to them. And Titus, for some reason, thinks that the way that you hear is not your ear, but your mouth. And so he speaks right into it. He'll like hold my face and speak right into my mouth. Dad, Dad. And it's him saying, I want your attention. And ultimately, that's what the church does here in Acts chapter 4, is that they say, now, Lord, consider their threats. They're saying, Lord, could you just pay attention for just a moment to what we're saying? Now, that's not to say that the Lord is off thinking about other things, but it's important for our heart to do. In fact, as you read through Scripture, you see there's a little bit of a pattern in this. Moses, in Exodus chapter 33, right? The Lord says, I'm going to send in, these people are a stiff-necked people, and so I'm going to send my angel before them. And how does Moses respond? He says, Lord, consider your people. These people won't make it without you. And if it's not with your presence, then don't send us from this place. So he says, Lord, please consider. Please think about this, Lord. David does the same thing in Psalm chapter 5. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. And now here in Acts 4:29, it's the church who's saying, Lord, would you pay attention to this? Would you listen to this? I want to give you one thought, and then we'll give instructions for this moment. If you could turn the Lord's face and say, Lord, would you look at this one thing? What would it be today? And for each person, that might be something different. There might be something that's maybe somebody who has a broken marriage, somebody who has a friend that's lost or a wayward child, a fear of the future, or maybe the condition of this country. What is it if you could take the Lord and say, Lord, would you look at this one thing? Isn't it great to know that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence through Jesus Christ and say, Lord, would you consider? And we could present our request. Now, I want to ask you to do this in a certain way, and I understand this is COVID sensitive, but I'd like to ask you to get into a group. Now, if you're very concerned about that, then it can be a small group. It could just be you and your spouse or you and your family, but to get in groups of maybe 2 to 4, just to let you know, the CDC said you could be within 3 feet if you're wearing masks. And so this would be a moment of transparency, so you do that as the Lord lays on your heart. But let me read to you James chapter 5. It says this, is any one of you in trouble? Then he should pray. Is anyone happy? Then let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well, for the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heavens began to rain, and the earth produced its crop. The thought there out of James 5 is that there's something about praying together. And so I'd like to ask you to think of this thought. What is it you'd like to have the Lord's attention turned to? And then would you ask somebody to pray for that for you? So we're going to kind of do another 4 or 5 minute time. If you want to, whether it be with your spouse or someone else you feel comfortable with, to say, here's the one thing I'd love to ask for prayer for. And can I pray for you? So spend about 30 seconds you sharing your request with someone, and then you spend some time praying, and then we'll close in a moment of prayer here in a moment. So as you feel comfortable, get in groups of 2 to 4, you share what your request would be, and then pray for one another.
you sing with me?
Isn't it great to sing "It Is Well" after asking the Lord to look at something? Just to stop and say, "Lord, I trust you with it." You know, the next thing they did after they moved from asking the Lord to consider, they asked the Lord to enable them. So this is us moving into supplication, and ultimately it is grant us boldness. I had a friend who asked me to do something beyond my abilities one time. And I mentioned to him, I said, "Well, I can't do that." And his response to me has stuck with me all these years. He said, "You must serve an awful little God." Because God never asks you to do something that you could do. And this is why the church always has to ask the Lord to enable them, right? And so whenever the church here is asking, Lord, enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness, they're asking it because they're realizing that it's something they cannot do. They're not saying, you know, we're pretty gifted. If you'll just kind of push us over the edge, if you'll just give us a little bit more, then we can do it. The realization for everyone in the room that we're not able to be adequate witnesses unless the Lord gifts it to us, unless he enables us, unless he gives us. Really, the word there, the Greek word, is didomi, and it's the same word that's used in John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. You see, God gave what we could not command God to give. There's no way we could have entered heaven apart from Jesus Christ, apart from faith in him. There's no way that we could have made Jesus leave heaven and come to earth. The only way that could ever happen is if God gave. And in the same way, for us to recognize in this moment that there are supplications that we're coming to God saying, we cannot do this on our own. We need you to enable us. And the one thing that they're asking in the midst of persecution is not that their problems would go away, not that things would get easier, but instead the Lord would enable them to speak. When's the last time we prayed as a church? And I know there's a lot of supplications that we could have, a lot of requests that we could have, but when's the last time that you prayed, Lord, would you give me the ability to speak? I know that sounds like a little bit of an ambitious statement, but I want you to read these passages, and then ultimately I'd like you to spend some time in prayer that the Lord would gift you with a tongue to speak, right? Moses had this complaint. He says that he wasn't able to speak, and so God gave a solution. Jeremiah, you'll read this here out of Jeremiah chapter 1. He says, I'm just a child. I don't know how to speak. And the Lord says, well, I'll give you a tongue. And the same thing here in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50, he says, the Lord's given me the tongue of a disciple that I would know how to sustain the weary one with a word. There in Acts chapter 4, they say, you decide whether or not it's right to stop speaking. But for us, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. What I'd like us to spend some time doing right now is to read these three passages and then to spend some time just praying, Lord, would you develop not our preacher's ability to speak, not my friend's ability to speak, but my ability to speak, to boldly proclaim there's no other name by which men might be saved other than Jesus. Have you ever prayed that before? This is what the church prayed, and it wasn't that Peter was praying this, and it wasn't that John was praying this. It was the whole church, at this point numbering about 5,000 people. Do you know what all 5,000 are praying? Lord, would you allow not someone else to speak, but would you enable, would you give me the ability to speak the name of Jesus? So you read these passages and then take a little bit of time to just pray, Lord, would you give me something that I don't have in myself? And that is the boldness and the ability to proclaim Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, you supply all that we need according to your riches and glory, Lord God, which are infinite. You are the Lord of hosts. Everything in heaven and on earth is at your disposal to help us, to equip us, to be able to accomplish whatever your will is for us, Lord. Lord, you are the God of exceedingly. You are the God of abundantly. But we have settled for mediocre lives because that is all we have wanted, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will help us to get out of this apathetic attitude, Lord God, to serve you with our whole hearts, Lord. Lord, we each have a testimony, or we should, and if we don't, we need to ask why. We should be able to give an answer for the hope that is in us, Lord. We should be able to share what you've done in each one of our lives, Lord. Lord, it is often misrepresented that you help those who help themselves. But Lord, I am so thankful that you help those that can in no way help themselves, Lord. We need your power. We need your guidance. We need your word. We need to know you fully, Lord. Thank you for being our ever-present help, Lord, when we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The last request for the church there is out of verse 30 in Acts 4. It says, stretch out your hand, heal, and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. This is ultimately a prayer of glorification, and here's how we know that, is because the Lord is glorified as we complete the work. You go back to John chapter 17, and of course this is Palm Sunday, so we're getting ready to celebrate the resurrection. John chapter 17 is a prayer that was offered there in the garden, and Jesus says, I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work. Ultimately, the church is not saying glorify the church by doing these great works. They're saying, Lord, glorify your own name by doing these works. Complete the work that you've given us. Use the miraculous signs as ways for us to continue to share the name boldly. You know, I've told you before that I have a speech impediment and spent a lot of years in special classes trying to work through that. I've spent a lot of times praying, Lord, give me a tongue that would proclaim. Allow me to preach, and not that I've arrived there in any ways. But I think it's a very biblical thing for us to pray with ambition, Lord, gift me in that. Give me the ability to proclaim your name. So I want to tell you what we feel like the Lord has led us to do, some works to do to complete what the task that the Lord has given us. Spring Hill's still here for a reason. And so we wanted to start taking Wednesday nights and do a ministry that we called A Night of Hope. And so Wednesday nights, we'll still have prayer meetings, but Night of Hope, the hope stands for help our people evangelize. It would be hypocritical for us to say, Lord, give us the ability to speak and not have some way to do that. And so here's what we're going to do on Wednesday nights. There's two ways you can get involved. One is you could bring baked goods. There's a sign-up sheet every Wednesday night. We want to have at least 6 dozen cookies or various items. You could sign up to say, I'll bring those items. There's instructions on how to do that. That'd be one way you could get involved. And the second is we're going to make teams that go out into the community. So there'll be a team that stays here for a prayer meeting. There'll be a team that goes out into the community. And there's 3 groups of people we'd like to go visit. If you're on that team and you say, I've got a friend I'd like to go visit, a family member, then that's number one on our priority list. Then the second would be somebody that's already been to our church. So they've already visited and they fill out a connection card. We want to be good stewards of the people the Lord sends here. We're going to go to their home and just give them that gift and ask if we could pray for them. And then the third is that we've signed up to find out how many people have recently moved into our area. Last week, there were 30 families that moved within 10 miles of this church building. 30 families. And so we have more than enough that we can go visit. We won't be able to reach all of those. We're going to say, let's take 6. And so if you know somebody personally, if somebody has visited, and then if we don't have any names on that, the next is there somebody who's moved? I was looking at the list. We can see how far away they've moved from. We have a family that moved away from almost 500 miles from here. and just moved to Springfield, Missouri. There's a good chance they don't know anybody. We, other than wherever they work, we could be the first people that show up at their door and say, have you heard about the name of Jesus? Our community is changing and it's growing. And so we want to have a way that we practically reach out. I'd like for you to spend a moment praying how you could maybe be involved in that. It actually made me think back. I'd heard Brother Kenny, if you don't know the story of Spring Hill, Brother Kenny Qualls had been the pastor here some time ago. I emailed him this week and said, tell me the story again, so I'll read what he sent to me. He said in the Spring Hill had considered closing its doors in 1990. Things were really tough. He said that him and Donna came in view of a call the last Sunday of November in 1990, and there were 22 people that came for the vote. He said they were so excited to have him that the next week, 13 showed up. He said in spring of 91, the roof was leaking, and Charles Dixon was putting tar on the roof. And Kenny was holding the ladder. He said, we were really just talking about nothing. And then suddenly, Charles began to cry. I asked him what was wrong, and he said, Spring Hill has not had a burden for lost people for the last 15 years. He got down off the ladder, and both of our hearts broke. We began to pray and cry together. The next Sunday, a woman in her 40s and two teens were saved. He said, we soon got a map of the whole county. We drew a five-mile circle around the church, and we wrote a plan of salvation and New Testaments, and our goal was to visit every home in that circle and give them a Bible and talk to them about Jesus. Kenny said, we went to every home, and to my knowledge, I don't know of anyone who got saved or ever even came to Spring Hill through that effort. But the issue was that it got us going. It got us out of the building and thinking about the community. Basically, from that moment on, one deacon who was brokenhearted over the lost, and he wept. We never stopped growing. We became active in local and global missions. You know why we're still here today? Because the task isn't done. God wants to be glorified, and the way he's glorified is by finishing the task. And so ultimately, what we want to pray for today is that God would stir our hearts, that if God was going to do a movement, if he was going to break someone's heart over lostness, I sure hope it'd be me. And I hope that as you hear this request, that maybe you'd say, boy, I hope it'd be me as well. That I'd begin to do the work of sharing the name of Jesus. So we want to start the ministry, not because we think it'll grow the church, not that we hope that it will help our finances, but simply because Jesus' name is worthy to be proclaimed. And so if you will take this moment to pray this, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal, to perform miraculous signs and wonders through your name of your holy servant, Jesus. God, would you do something great through this church and specifically through me? You take that moment and pray. And then we'll begin to have our time of invitation. Father, we ask that you would stir in our hearts. God, we want to be a church of prayer. Father, of all the things you've called us to do, you've called us to be a praying people. And it comes back to that fact that we have to ask you to enable us. We don't have the ability. Father, our hearts are prone to wander. Father, all of us are like sheep. We just continually go astray. And so, Father, we need your Spirit to stir in us. Would you give us a burden for people that are lost? Would you give us a burden to share your name because it's worthy to be proclaimed? Dear Father, I pray that you would allow us to be faithful to complete the task. Father, pray for even this time of invitation as you stir in our hearts, as you lead us to respond. Father, if there are people here that are lost, would you draw them to genuine salvation, that they would not only repent of their sins and their rebellion against you, but Father, would they trust Christ? Would they kneel? Would they kiss the Son? Would they pay homage to the Son? Would they surrender to the true King? Father, would you begin to do a work in our hearts? And would you stir in my own heart? Father, may we glorify you by completing the work that you've given us. We love you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we ask all of this. Enable your servant to speak with boldness. And Father, would you bring about miracles and taking people that are dead in their sin and making them alive in Christ? Would you do a miracle in this church as you stir? All for your glory, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, you make the
beautiful song. He makes the darkness tremble. We love you all. I hope you've enjoyed spending some time in prayer. I know that there are things that just feel awkward. And it always feels awkward to think that it would be more productive to pray than to do. But you have no strength to do anything until you've prayed. And so thank you for spending time today just praying. Lord, would you stir in our hearts? Would you enable your servant to proclaim the name of Jesus? We love you all. Thank you so much for gathering. Dawn, would you close us in a word of prayer?
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Spring Hill Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri.